Tomorrow night, February 12th, is our every member. If you're wondering what business will be happening tomorrow night, please take a look at that. And we would encourage everyone that's in attendance at Little Swatora to come out to the every member council meeting tomorrow night. We also have an announcement from the youth this morning, so we invite you guys up front to share where we're at with NYC fundraising.
Good morning, everyone. This summer, the Senior High Youth Group will be attending the National Youth Conference in Colorado. And in order to cover the funds of our trip, we must raise $18,500. The shaded thermometer right here is showing our progress as we continue to raise money. So far, we have raised $13,850, and we still need $4,650 to reach our goal.
And then if you would like to help us reach our goal, some fundraisers we have coming up are the spaghetti dinner this Saturday, February 17th from 4 to 7 p.m., and soup and sandwich on March 4th, April 8th, and May 6th after second service. Thank you.
I'd just like to highlight for the Brethren Disaster Ministry trip for the first week of March, we have 10 people from our congregation going and one woman from the Lampeter Church of the Brethren. And we're going to be meeting afterwards today, this morning, to fill out some paperwork and just go over a few things. So those who are going on the trip, meet downstairs in the fellowship hall after this service. I ask the congregation to put these people in prayer as we get ready to go on our trip, and just look forward to an opportunity to serve others. Thanks.
Two things. Just want to highlight that the ministry team booklets are out in the narthex on the table to your right. Please pick up a book so you can read through the reports before the meeting, because we won't be reading through them all at the meeting. But if you have questions regarding any of them, please feel free to bring your questions along tomorrow evening at 7:30 for council meeting. The other announcement that I want to make, in the bulletin there was an announcement because the deacons are looking to make a tape of hymns and things that we sing here in the church, and we're looking for voices. We're looking for all of you to participate. There are dates for it to be done on a Sunday afternoon, but I think we're going to be changing those dates. So at this point, if you're interested in helping, see me or see Gary and let us know so we can let you know when we're planning to do some practicing. We'll do one practice and then do a recording session to record them so we have them available for anyone that's a shut-in. Okay, thanks.
Any other announcements you'd like to highlight this morning? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for gathering us here as a family of God. Father, you know the week we've been through. You know what our morning has consisted of, and we're just laying that all before you. We are coming now to worship you, to recognize you as the supreme being, the one who knows us better than we know ourselves, the one who loves us despite ourselves. And so we come and we worship you and worship you alone. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Please rise and join in our opening praise. Come, now is the time to worship.
Surrender. is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are.
Your church family this morning, just invite you to raise your hand and we'll get a microphone to you. We'll be sharing joys and concerns. Just ask me to keep my father in prayer. He fell in the ice and he has a broken humerus bone, and so tomorrow we go to Sun Orthopedic to determine what the next steps are for his recovery, but they can't cast it and he's in a lot of pain right now, so keep my father, his name's Bob, in your prayers. Any other joys or concerns you'd like to share this morning?
I'd like prayers for my neighbor, Doug, who fell in his house, not on ice, and broke his humerus, and was meeting with the orthopedic doctor this morning to see what the next step is, and pray for healing.
Let's worship before our prayer.
Draw me close to you. No one else will.
Would you pray with me? Father God, we need you this morning. We need you every day of our lives. We recognize you, Father, as the one who holds each of us in your loving arms. The one who, through the Holy Spirit, leads, guides, and directs every step of our path. And we cry out to you this morning, asking you to help us, to get us through this next day, this next week, this next month. For Father, we know apart from you, we can do nothing. But we recognize through your scripture, you say, with you, all things are possible. So we're trusting you this morning. We're maintaining our faith. We're asking you to help us know that you can handle every situation we face. We think of illnesses that many are dealing with right now. We think of falls that people have taken and broken bones and fractures they're dealing with. And especially this morning, lift up Bob and Doug and ask that you would wrap your loving arms around them. Father, we know that there are physicians and there are rehab facilities among us, but we know you are the master physician. And so, Father, we know with just a touch of your hand, anyone can be healed. And Father, you know what needs healed in this place, what needs healed in this community. And so I pray where there's brokenness, you would bring wholeness. Where there's pain, you would bring relief. Where there's anguish, that you would bring peace. And we just pray that we would begin to realize that with you, we can make it through these days ahead. So thank you, Father, for the knowledge of our eternal resting place. That as we trust and we believe in you, knowing your Son died on the cross, knowing our sins are forgiven, that we can turn from them. And when we do sin, we can come to you and confess and receive and repent of those things that trap us. And we can turn, Lord, with your help. We thank you the tomb is empty. We thank you that you have gone to be with your Father in heaven and that we too one day will join you there as we take our last breath. But Father, let us live this life while we're here. But not just living it on our own regards for our own pleasures, but living it solely for your purposes. Realizing our mission to go into the world, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Help us, Father, to be about your cause, loving others, offering forgiveness, showing peace, realizing that you are the God of all. So we surrender, we submit, we let go, and we obey what you guide us into. So, Father, we pray now in the name of Jesus, you would hear the prayers of your people as we take pause. We confess, we lift up those things upon our hearts. Father, we recognize this morning that your mercies are new each day. We know, Father, that your grace is abounding. We know, Father, that your love is unconditional. And we just pray, Father, that we would give you all glory. And we would say, take our lives. Use them. We want to be obedient, Father. We want to submit to what you would have for us. But we know the flesh gets in the way. We know that our desires get in the way, and so we're just asking you, Lord, to remove them and to help us see what your word tells us and to go the direction it calls us. So, Lord, we're yours this morning, and we ask that you would be glorified as you take our lives and you use them in miraculous ways. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Before the world was made, before you spoke it to be, you were the King of Kings. Yeah, you were, and now you're reigning still, enthroned above all things. Angels and saints cry out, we join them as we sing, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Creator God, you gave me breath so I could praise your great and matchless name all my days, so let my whole life be a blazing offering. A life that shouts and sings the greatness of our King. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours. Take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours. We sing glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours. Take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours.
And we're going to take my life.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise.
And as our offertory thought this morning, we ask that the Lord would take our finances, take our lives, and let them be used for His glories. And we know what the Lord has called us to this morning, to be cheerful givers. And we are so appreciative of each giver here this morning and ask that indeed the Lord would use these funds to bring glory to Him and to further His kingdom.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the Lord, I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. where sin runs deep, your grace is more, where grace is found, is where you are, where you are, Lord, I am free, holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you, oh, I need you, every hour I need you, my one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you, teach my soul to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need.
Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for these offerings this morning. We present them to you and we ask you, Father, that they would be for your glory. We know, Father, that you have given each of us abundant blessings, and out of those blessings we have flowed them into your kingdom, into this church, into this community, into this world. And we pray now that you would just allow them to be effective in reaching the lost, in reaching the ministries, in reaching wherever it may be you would want these funds to reach. And we thank you, Father, for the blessings that they have been and will be. And it's in Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to steal Pastor Matt's microphone. Hey, Jordan, why don't you come down and join me? Hi, Graham. Good morning, you guys. So I've told y'all before, my memory isn't so good, so sometimes I have to read stuff just because I don't remember. So do any of you guys know what special day is coming up next week? Valentine's Day, that's right. So I'm going to hand something to each of you guys. This is a heart for you that Miss Sarah helped me cut out last night, because I'm not so good at cutting either. Hi. Stop, buddy. Oh, I gotcha. There's a heart for you. And a heart. And a heart. And a heart. Did I miss anybody? Nope. And I have a heart too. So that special day is Valentine's Day. And does anybody know who Saint Valentine was? No? He was a Christian bishop I won't even get into the year, but he was a Christian bishop long, long time ago. And he was well known throughout the country for the great love that he had for his people in need. So when we think of Valentine's Day and Saint Valentine, we're reminded about love, That's why your hearts are there. So what a fun, good Valentine's Day gift to give your friends and your family. You give them hearts just like this, and you give them candy. But look on the back of your heart. What's that? And that big symbol right there. So the symbol for Valentine's Day usually is a heart, and that's what this is. It's a symbol of love that someone gives this to you and say, you're my Valentine because I love you. But that there and that cross that's on the back of your heart is a huge symbol. What is that a symbol of? The cross? And what does that symbolize? What does the cross symbolize? And yes. Yes, it does. That's right. This symbolizes God's love for you. That he loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die for our sins. So every time that you think about the heart on Valentine's Day and that you give it to your friend at school or to your sister or to your mom or your dad, say, Happy Valentine's Day, I love you. Think about the bigger love, that he loved us so much that that symbol stands here in our church. That it's a symbol of his love for us is so huge that he sent Jesus to die for our sins so that we can be saved. Okay? So remember that this week when you give a heart to somebody, that there's somebody else's love that's much bigger than what this little heart symbolizes. Look at the back of your heart and see the cross and remember that. Okay? You guys pray with me? Father, we ask that this week as we go along and these kids celebrate Valentine's Day, that they're reminded of you and the much bigger love that you had for us, that you sent your son Jesus to die for us, and that your love is bigger than anything we'll ever experience. We thank you for all these kids here sitting before me, and we just ask that you keep watchful eye over them this week, and they have a wonderful school week. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, you guys.
Would you pray with me? Father, we just come before you. As we open your word, we know that you have something to say to each of us. And we're focusing on our mind this morning. And we know that we're called to love you with all of our mind. And we just pray, Father, you would help us to know what that means. And that we would leave this place changed and transformed and renewed, knowing that you are going with us and that you have met us here in this place. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning, I'm really excited to continue in our series, Undone. It's a word not all that popular, but it's necessary in following Christ. Undone, surrender, letting go, handing over control, realizing that in our weakness, God is ever so strong. And this holds true in our ability to love him. We remember the greatest commandment Jesus gave us. It's found in Mark 12:30. It says, love the Lord your God. If you know it, say it with me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Today, we center our focus. We center our being on loving the Lord with all our mind. Now, this speaks directly to a renewed mind. A renewed mind is one that has been transformed by the love of Jesus Christ. It's a moment in our lives where Jesus touched us. He changed us, and we've never been the same. A moment that now lasts forever. A moment that is ongoing. The Lord has said that if we're ever going to understand the kingdom, our minds need to be constantly renewed. And here's why. Jesus began preaching it in Matthew 4:17, and it reads, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repentance, what a word. It's another way of saying renewal. We need to turn our minds. We need to turn our entire beings from the things that cause us to stumble or sin. Romans 12:2, Paul states that a major part of being transformed into the image and likeness of Jesus requires our minds being renewed. It's a very big deal, even bigger than the Super Bowl Eagle champions. So let's go. M-I-N-D. It's no doubt the language of the mind is images. Did you know that the human brain can interpret images that the eyes see in just 13 milliseconds? U.S. researchers tell us the brain weighs in at a whopping 3 pounds. It comprises 60% of fat and is one of the fattest organs in the human body. It has the capacity to generate 23 watts of power when awake. If we were to count the blood vessels in the brain, which someone did, they're almost 100,000 miles in length. And if that's already not enough to comprehend, there are nearly 100 billion neurons present in the brain. And as we very well know, as we grow older, it's more difficult to remember new things. And here's what researchers tell us. It's because the brain is less able to filter and remove old memories, which prevent it from absorbing new ones. We could easily conclude the mind is an ongoing movie screen providing pictures and words that are endless. Think about that in the way that God has made us this morning. So much of our lives are lived in our minds because it can never seem to be shut off. Anyone have trouble sleeping at night because their mind just won't shut off? We find ourselves constantly seeing images or holding conversations in our mind. Sometimes it's all happening at the same time. So when they say there's voices in our heads, you know, it's somewhat true. Just don't do what they say unless they line up with God's word. It's fascinating to think the Lord created us this way for endless communion with Him. Friends, it's the constant reality and stream of our lives. When the body goes to sleep, the mind stays active, often dreaming through the night. So check this out. To love God with all of our mind is a supernatural possibility. Though the mind was never meant to rule the heart, it can be used to affectionately love the Lord. So what happens as our mind is continually renewed, the Holy Spirit releases supernatural activity to love Jesus more. Just when you thought there's 3 points to a sermon, today there are 4. Number 1 is reason. Isaiah 1:18, "Come now and let us reason together," says the Lord. To reason is to think, understand, and form judgments by a process of logic. We have to believe part of loving God with all of our mind is loving Him logically. For guys like me, this is a relief. I like to think strategically. I like order. But I must note, though, reason never trumps revelation. The mind is the learner, not the leader. The heart is the leader. Many times, the heart receives from the Lord first, and the mind can't always make sense of it. Perhaps this is why it says in Isaiah 55:8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." Now, eventually, the mind does catch up with what the heart has received. But here's what happens when we place reason over revelation. We've made God in our own image and likeness. So it makes sense. Faith in many ways goes beyond reason. It looks to the impossible, and faith trusts in the all-knowing God. Yet in so many ways, reason is quite powerful. We could, and many a theologian has, systematically and logically looked at the ways God has intersected our lives and given Him praise. But let's move on to number two, which is knowledge. Hebrews 10:16. This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. Friends, to love God with all our mind involves taking time in God's word and agreeing with who he is. And here's what happens. We grow in truth and we grow in knowledge. A.W. Tozer once said, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. When we realize that God is mindful of us, there's no question there's a love that awakens within us. A love that itself captures incredible depths of knowledge. You see, it's loving God then that continually refuels us as the mind encounters truth. So as our mind grows in the knowledge of Jesus, we're more and more free to love him. Memory is number three. Isaiah 63:7, I will tell of the kindness of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Time and time again, the Bible is filled with commands to remember. And here's what happens. Memories lead us to gratefulness. And gratefulness leads us to worship. Friends, when we use our minds to remember his kindness, his faithfulness, his patience, his peace, and so much more, we build a foundation of faith, hope, and love. It's possible to say we're loving God with our remembrance. For many of us, though, we can't forget the past because the past has a voice. So what do we do? How do we win those battles? And the answer is this. Allow the truth of Jesus to triumph. We can't allow our past to freeze us. Rather, like a stream of flowing water, let it lead you to the depth of God's love. God's goodness remains all the time, and it draws us toward forgiving, delivering, and providing all we need. Fourth and finally, there's the imagination. Psalm 8:3. When I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. Friends, God has given us the mind and the power to imagine. Some call it dreaming big dreams. Some say get a picture of your future, while others say if you can see it, you can be it. Imagination not only sees, it creates. It thinks outside the box. It's like this guy several weeks after he had been hired. And he was called into the manager's office. And the manager demanded, what is the meaning of this? When you applied for the job, you told us that you had 5 years of experience. And now we discover this is your first job? Well, the young man said, in your ad you said you wanted someone with imagination. So I imagined I had 5 years of experience. You see, it's within the imagination. We can have heavenly thoughts. We can be captured by the grace of God. And friends, we can know that God is mindful of us. But how can we be mindful of God? And the answer is in our scripture for today. Philippians 4, 6 to 9. If you have your Bibles, turn there with me this morning. Philippians 4, 6 to 9. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Friends, we can have the mind of Christ when we think about such things. Paul is writing perhaps to a song that we know that goes, here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. Or perhaps it's from a line sung by a warthog named Pumbaa and a meerkat named Timon. Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase. Hakuna Matata ain't no passing craze. It means no worries for the rest of your days. Paul says that peace will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That word guard is a military word. It means to stand guard or watch. This would have been familiar to the Philippians because their city was made up of ex-Roman soldiers. In other words, what it's saying is God's saving peace he brought the world will stand guard like a Roman soldier guarding our hearts and minds in Jesus. Picture that with me for a second. God's peace will guard us. For we are kept in Christ who is our peace. We've been forgiven. We've been made right with God through his only son, Jesus Christ. And friends, not a single worry can change that. This peace, this right relationship with God is not based on our mind, our heart, or even what's going on right now. Rather, it's based on what Jesus has done for us. Nothing can affect that peace. So this morning and the rest of the days of our lives, let our minds be full of Christ. Let us dwell on his goodness, for we know that God is good all the time. Let us love as he loves, and may his peace find its way to others. Would you pray with me? God, we are thankful that our minds can be renewed. We are thankful that our minds can be transformed into your likeness. And we know, Father, this morning there are so many things going through our minds right now. There is so much worry. There's so many things that are trying to capture our attention. But, Father, we're laying them down at your throne. And we're surrendering and we're saying, Lord, may your peace reign over me. For as much as I try to control this situation, Lord, I know that you are ultimately in control. So I pray, Father, that your will would be done in the lives of these people. I pray that your peace would be evident and your love would go forth. And we praise you this morning for who you are, a God of love, a God of forgiveness, a God of grace, a God of mercy, a God who has our back in every situation. So we praise you with all that we have, for we know who you are and what you mean to each of us. And nothing in this world compares to that. And it's in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship your holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship. worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. Thousand reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. And on that day, my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. I worship your holy name. I worship your holy name.
May this be a week where our worship is solely identified with Christ. May we worship our Creator, the one who sustains us. And may our lives be filled with love and filled with peace, that others would know it to be true that there is a God by the way that we live and we move and we breathe in this world and community. Let peace reign upon your lives. Amen.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing